Once more, we have Jesus entering into the room where the disciples are hiding because of fear. In this case, it doesn't say that he walks through the door. He just happens to be there. And the disciples, they are absolutely beside themselves. They don't know whether to laugh or cry. They're afraid. They're wondering. They're glad. They don't know whether to weep or eat a donut. They're just totally confused. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And why are you wondering? See, it's me. Meat and bones. And see my scars. And then Jesus does what in the Gospel of Luke proves that he's there, in fact. "I'm kind of hungry. You got anything to eat?" Because in Luke's Gospel, that's what Jesus does. He eats. He eats with sinners. He eats with tax collectors. He eats with anybody who will invite him to a meal. And he even invites himself to people's house for lunch. He eats. And that's a really important thing. It's the same way that the two guys who were on the road to Emmaus realized that they were walking with Jesus. When did they recognize him? It wasn't when he was talking. It wasn't when he was sitting down with them. It was when he took a loaf of bread, blessed it, and broke it. Eaten again. That's Jesus. So we know that this is him. And he says, "It is I, myself." And he doesn't mean the way we would probably mean it is like, it's the essence of myself, right? Like, we think of, we have a spirit and we have a body, and the spirit is in the body, and our essence is that spirit, and the body is just kind of superficial, and, you know, happens to be this one. No. That's good Greek thinking, but that's lousy Hebrew thinking. Jesus is like, "It is I myself, it is my body." And then he opens their eyes to see this, to understand the scriptures, right? And he says, "Remember that I told you that the Son of Man would suffer and die and on the third day be raised?" And you can just imagine them going, "That's what he was talking about? He kept saying that. But this is what he means. Oh, finally." This is how I feel on Saturday night when I've been struggling with a sermon, right? With a text. And then suddenly it just goes, click. Oh, that's what this means. This is how the disciples, their minds were opened up. And now Jesus says, "And you are my witnesses to these things. You are my witnesses. I want you to go out and tell everybody. I'm not going to be around telling everybody. You tell them." And then we have this great opportunity to see the very early attempts of the disciples to be witnesses to the resurrection. We have it in the story in Acts about Peter talking to the people, saying, "You people, we are here to tell you that Jesus was raised from the dead." But first he says, well, what is it that exactly he says? He says, first the thing they do is he says, "Why are you looking at us as if we have some magical power? It wasn't us that did this. This was Jesus, the one who was raised from the dead." And then he says, "He's the one that you handed over to Pilate, though Pilate wanted to release him. You killed the author of life. You did this. You did that. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And forgiveness, and repentance and forgiveness are available to you now." You have to remember again, these are like the first tries at it. It seems to me that we've got to get better at it than that, right? Because what in the world is Peter doing? He's separating himself from the people who were there. And first he's talking to this group as if they were the same people who were there the time on Good Friday when Jesus was crucified, right? Not necessarily the case. It also, and really interestingly, makes it feel like Peter was never there. "You guys did this. You did that." As if Peter had nothing to do with it. Huh. That is not good witness. It's a half-truth. Right? You can't be going around saying, "You all are this and you all did that." there's a bumper sticker that I think it's one of the native tribes put it out, and the bumper sticker says, "You are on native land," right? And when they say it, makes perfect sense. You all are on native land. When I put my bumper sticker on my car, it sounds like y'all are reading this are on native land, unlike I, who am not. That doesn't make any sense, right? Like, we are on native land. That's the true witness, right? So that's, in a small way, that's just the idea that we want to separate ourselves from the people who are doing the things that we need to call them to repentance about. Far better is the kind of call to repentance, the kind of witness that, for example, I was told you on Easter Sunday about Mary Morgan, this a daughter of our congregation who was a heroin addict and recovered. And here's her witness. Her witness is that she starts a couple, like two or three Narcotics Anonymous chapters in the Seattle area. And now she and her partner are working to go into the prisons and talk to the women in prison about this very thing, about the fact that they're, about how they were in the same boat, in jail, in addiction, no hope, and yet they got free. Their life was turned. They were called to repentance, to turning around, to living a different way, to making different kinds of decisions, to learning how to make different kinds of decisions in their life. And now they're starting a program for the women in prison to help them begin to understand this whole process, right? And the way of liberation. This is an amazing witness. But they don't say, "Boy, y'all really screwed up. You're in jail now. You're on drugs. You're this and you're that." No. They say, "We know because we've been there. And let me tell you that there is a way out. We were liberated. You can be liberated." That's a good witness. We need to be witnesses in the same way that I learned how to pray for people who were sick. Some of you remember this story, but a woman named Frances was, I was brand new to the congregation, brand new to ministry, and there was and just out of seminary, which is an important point of the story. There was a woman who was diagnosed with cancer. So a group of people arrived at the church and said, "Pastor, come on, we're going to go pray for Frances." And I'm like, "Great, we're going to go pray for Frances." And we get there, and there's five or six of us around Frances, and I'm just out of seminary, as I told you. And so I start my prayer. I said, "Dear God, if there is a God, we ask you to please be with Frances in her suffering and to let her know that you are there with her and your will be done," and et cetera, et cetera. Well, yeah. So Reggie, handsome, said, looked at me, and he looked at Frances, looked at me, looked at Frances. Frances didn't drop dead because of this prayer, but he was worried. And then he said, "Well, the only way to fix this is to pray." And so he started to pray. And he said, "Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking you to heal our sister Frances. You healed my uncle who had cancer." And all the people saying, "Yes, you did. And you healed my brother. Yes, you did, Lord. We're not asking you to do something you can't do, Lord. We were asking you to heal Francis like you healed the man laying down on the side of the road. Yes, Lord. Just like the person that the woman who died, you raised her to new life. Yes, Lord. This is what we're asking you to do, Lord. Not something you can't do, something we know you can do." Oh. That's how you pray? Well, I learned in seminary that if you pray like that, you're raising people's expectations. And, you know, maybe their hopes will be dashed if it doesn't happen. Well, the point of that is we have experienced this. And in the same way, we have experienced repentance and forgiveness. And it is that to which we must bear witness. when we have been totally at our wit's end, when we have been caught in addiction, when we have been caught just doing stupid things, right? We're not trying to hide those things. And we're not trying to blame anybody else. You know, we went through COVID together, right? And you know, COVID, we were not at our best when we were at COVID. We were not at our best at witnessing to the resurrection, at the defeat of death by the resurrection of Jesus. We just weren't. We did what we could. But it would be like me standing here saying to you guys didn't do very well witnessing to the resurrection. No, I didn't do very well. I wasn't the greatest leader during that time. And the witness is not I was not doing very well. The witness is I didn't do very well. And Jesus forgives us. Jesus forgives me. And calls me to new life. That time, yeah, okay. Not the best. But come on, there's more to do. Move on. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins will always be forgiven. Just turn around and go a new way. We are not called to be the people who always get it right the first time. We're not. And we're not called to separate ourselves from the people who haven't gotten it right. We are called to jump right in and say, yeah, we are a people who are messed up, and God has forgiven us. And come to think of it, we'll mess up again. And God will forgive us. And that's the way we live in freedom. Not clenching to every possible decision and saying, oh, I've got to get this one right. I've got to get this one right. No, that's not freedom. That's not what God is offering us. The way of life that God is offering us is repentance and forgiveness. So, enter right in. Bear witness to the times when you didn't pray right, when you didn't act right, when you were caught up in whatever you were caught up in. Bear witness. And bear witness even more loudly to the reality that God was still with you, and that God walked with you through that, and that God brought you to a new way of being. The old was forgiven. Peace be with you, Jesus says to the guys who denied him, who betrayed him, who ran away when he was arrested. And that's why they're halfway joyful and halfway scared, because they don't know which foot's going to land. Is it going to be the one that says, I'm angry at you for what you did? Or is it the one that says, I'm going to forgive you for what you did? And thanks be to God, it's the second. You are forgiven. And now, go bear witness to that. That's what I want you to do. And you can walk with any single person in the world, whatever they have done, whatever they are doing, you are free to walk with them and tell them, you know what? I was doing the same kind of stuff. But God freed me and forgave me and will do the same for you. Thanks be to God.